This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Here's a man in evening clothes. How he got here, I don't know. But man,
nice to hear from so many optimistic fans today. Hey, Frank, knowing the Blues history, they will fold like a cheap tent. I don't think you can talk about, you know, what has happened in the past and equate it to this team that was in last place, this team that had to win games in Winnipeg and Dallas and won a dramatic game. No. I'll tell you, you could kind of see it in their eyes in the locker room after the game. They're moving on. I don't know if Craig Berube got to the players before they got to the media to say, hey, I don't want anybody complaining. But boy, they were like, they were like robots and not talking about the play.
We did have Cam Jansen on this morning, and I'm glad you noticed it, because the first thing I saw was how the Blues, you could tell by their facial expression, they kind of knew they got screwed, but their answers were fantastic. So I asked Cam, when you get in the league and have these situations happen, how do they train you for it? Is it the coaching staff? Is it other veterans? And he said they take classes when they get drafted about how to handle media. And he said when you're in a room with guys and you have your coaching staff, they kind of know that there's no good in coming from complaining about the refs or another player or things like that. So I was actually really surprised how they handled it. I wouldn't have done that, but,
Tim texting in, Frank, when the four officials were gathered talking it over, one of them was making the exact same arm-passing gesture that Meyer did. I know they saw it. They just didn't want to call it. All four should be fired immediately. Here's the thing. If they did call it, no one would be upset with the league or the NHL officials because everybody sees it clearly in slow motion 20 times that it wasn't the proper call. So you can't blame them.
I think if you're looking to maybe get on the side of the refs, if you look at it closely, probably in fast motion, it's not his hands are on his stick for a split second. And so maybe the ref thought it was a deflection off of this, the base of the stick. That end up going to Nyquist, that end up getting the goal. That's the only explanation I have.
All right. The man who was on the call last night and who was just right on with his commentary instantly is Joe Micheletti from NBC Sports. Joe, thank you so much for being with us. If I could talk to one guy today on our radio show, it is Joe Micheletti. How are you?
I'm good. What's on everybody's mind today, Frank?
So, Joe, when it was happening, like in real speed time, did you see the hand touch the puck, or was it a few seconds after when you had a chance to look at a replay?
No, I saw it right away. But I waited, and I told Kenny Albert right after the game that I saw it, but because it turned out to be a goal in overtime and a winning goal, as it turned out, that I hesitated to say anything because I didn't want to screw up the call. And of course, there's always a chance that I'm wrong. So I thought, sure, it was a hand pass, but I want him to finish his call. And then, I jumped in, right afterwards, partially because I was going to say it. And the other thing that really stood out was the reaction of Binnington. So if you watch it again on replay, here's what I think happened to Binnington on the play. I think that he knew that. Well, he did know. He did know that it was a hand pass, and I think that he felt and thought that as soon as it touched the stick of Gus Nyquist, that the whistle would blow. So I think that Binnington just momentarily relaxed, thought it was going to be a call, and then when it wasn't, he had to scramble to try and get back into position, and Carlson's able to get the puck through him. But you see him as soon as it goes in, his reaction. So he knew it was a hand pass, and I think he felt like it was going to be a call, and so did I. So did I. So to me, there was no question about the hand pass when it happened. And I was just, it's one of those things. It's not reviewable. The one of the four officials on the ice has to see it and has to make a call, and nobody did.
Do you think the rule will be changed shortly?
Yes. Shortly meaning I don't think anything's going to happen this season. because you got to get you have to get the Board of Governors together, and you got to get everybody together and say, listen, we need a new we need to adjust our standard here. In particular, there have been so many things that have happened in this year's playoffs that you know that the phones are that the internal discussions I'm sure that are taking place now are so much more intense and more often than in any other playoff year. So I you know Pierre McGuire mentioned something on the air last night about you know some of the different instances that are probably going to become under review in following seasons, and I agree with him, and I think certainly this one, just on all goals, I think will be automatically reviewed, and I don't think it'll take that much time unless there's something that's really questionable, which would take time anyway.
You know, I make five mistakes before breakfast every day, but it's amazing that four officials are on the ice and they're watching the play, and you're way up in the booth. And you see it, and those four officials on the ice don't see that hand touch the puck.
You know, I don't – this – you know, over the years, Frank, I've been around so long that I've gotten to know these officials. And these are really good people. They're really upstanding individuals. You know, there's always a few that, you know, rub you the wrong way. But I will say this, that when they miss something – you can't believe how much it bothers them. And so this last night was a huge miss, I think, for this reason. You know, there's so much going on the ice that they don't always catch things that are away from the play, you know, and that's understandable. But when you have a play that's right in front of you, because you've got 19,000 people that are watching the puck, right? You've got a number of officials, you know, the officials that are out there. Somebody for sure has an eye on the puck to watch what's going on. And the mistake was made that someone looked the other way and was watching something else. And because it was kind of the puck flipped up in the air and it was deflected, and you never know exactly, you know, in that moment what happens to their eyesight and where they're looking, or if they get blocked out for some reason. And all those things are possibilities. But, you know, this one where the focus is on the puck and on that play, for all four of those to not see that is really, it's tough to take. And I can understand you're a Blues fan. I mean, you're going, wait a second here. You know, this is a difficult one to handle. And I don't blame them.
I know you probably don't know the answer to this question, but I'll ask it anyway. Do you think there's a chance that one of the officials actually did see it because of the gravity of the situation, a game-deciding goal in Game 3 of the Western Conference Final, they just didn't want to overturn the moment?
My gut says no, Frank, but that's, you know, that would be a question for the four of them that are out there. And like I said earlier, I've gotten to know, you know, most of these officials pretty well over the years. And these two, you know, the guys that were there last night, they're experienced officials. And there's nothing that bothers them more than to miss something, and especially if it has an impact on the game, which this one did. So I would say to that answer, I would say my gut and in my heart and in my head, I say, no, that had nothing to do with it. I would say I take their word that the four of them, that neither of them saw the play.
Joe, even though I'm a basketball guy and I spend more time covering baseball than anything, I admit that the Stanley Cup playoffs are the best playoffs in sports. There's nothing more captivating, nothing more compelling. I can't get enough of it. But with that said, what type of black eye is this moment on the league, or just move on and won't be discussed? Only in St. Louis from this moment on?
Well, it will be discussed. It will be discussed. And the thing to remember about this, and it depends on the outcome of the series as well. You know, there's only three games. And the Blues, I think, walk away from that game thinking we played well enough to win. And so from a confidence level, I don't think it's going to affect them. I thought I thought the way Craig Berube handled it in the post game was perfect, because what are you going to do at this point? You know, now Craig is already thinking about game four, his team, the players, their mindset, their confidence, and all those things. I mean, he starts as soon as that thing's over, he's walking down to the locker room and he's starting to think, okay, we've got game four coming up. There's nothing I can do about this. And so I thought he handled it perfectly. And they still have a good chance to win the series. I mean, if I'm the Blues, I come away from that game going, you know what? We found some things in playing against this team last night that should give us confidence that we can win the series. I still think it'll be a long series. And you've got two teams that are similar and play similar styles. But if I'm the Blues, I'm not thinking, oh, the series is over. I mean, you think that, then it is over, and it's going to be over quickly. But I would remember that this is game three, and we've got plenty of time yet to there's still a lot of hockey to be played.
Jordan Binnington is the reason the Blues are in the situation they're in right now. But your evaluation of his performance last night?
See, I didn't think that, even though he allowed five goals, you know, the last one, I would say, as I mentioned to you earlier, Frank, I think that mentally he probably, just for a moment and only a split second, probably relaxed just a little bit. Because when he scrambled over to try and make the save, he looked like he was scrambling over to make the save instead of pushing off, getting over there like he always does. So I think that he probably thought there was going to be a whistle. I thought there was a split second of relaxation. So if it was, then that's a mistake that he made. But, again, clearly he knew it was a hand pass and there should have been a whistle. Some of the other goals, the first one by Joe Thornton, you know, he's in position, but Bortuzzo blocks the shot, and it just happens to deflect straight over to the left of Binnington. There's Joe Thornton. He's got an open net backhand and in. The other goal by Joe Thornton, Binnington had to pick up. If you watch the shot, he reacts late because he was screened. And when you're screened, and then you got to relax and do or react and do everything you can just to stop the puck so it doesn't go in the net, then you don't have control of where the rebound's going. So he got enough of it to keep it out of the net, but the fortuitous bounce goes behind the net and then right back, and Joe Thornton makes a heck of a play. And by that time, Binnington now is trying to scramble back the other way and just can't get back into position. So I don't blame him for the loss at all. I really don't. It's just you got to remember, you got two good teams and talented players on both sides that are simply going to make plays.
And one of the most talented players is the captain for the Blues, Alex Pietrangelo. And unfortunately, he's had some isolated, really bad moments in this series, including the icing plays last night.
You know, what's really interesting in the last couple of years, I'm only going to say the last maybe 2 years, around the National Hockey League, you can now talk to coaches that coached for years that have said, you can't shoot at the empty net if you're not, you know, if you're on the other side of the red line, if you're in your own zone. All that has changed. You know, the analytics now in the game have gotten so sophisticated that the analytics tell you that if you have a chance to shoot at the open net, the odds are you should take the shot, try to hit the open net, and if it's an icing, it's an icing. So, you know what? So that's the mindset of most of these players now. Unless you have the time, you know, on that icing, you know, he was obviously pressured and turned. So he either had to go hard off the glass with it, hard, you know, if he was kind of on his back end, so he wouldn't have been able to clear the puck the other way. And so he took a shot at it. It turned out to be an icing. But the analytics people in the National Hockey League now, and most teams hire analytics people to go over all those numbers and what are the odds and why does it make sense or what doesn't make sense. And so there's most of these teams in the National Hockey League now, you watch them now, and it's not like the old days where you say you absolutely can't, you know, go for the open net if you're on the wrong side of the red line. And most teams will go for the open net.
The most talked about player from the Blues perspective over the last 4 or 5 days has been Vladimir Tarasenko. What did you think of his play last night? Had a big moment.
Well, I will say this. If you go down the roster of the Blues, and you can start with, you know, numerically, go all the way down the roster. And I thought about this last night, and I was talking to Kenny Albert after the game last night. And because we started, you know, in our just post-game discussion of the game. And we mentioned, and I shouldn't say we, I should say Kenny, because he's doing play-by-play. He mentioned just about every other player on the team more than Tarasenko. And to me, that's a problem. I understand that when it comes to playoffs, your key offensive players are going to get targeted. It's going to be more difficult to score. But you have to do something on the ice to be noticed and to be a factor. It doesn't always have to be scoring. You know, we very seldom, I mentioned him one time coming back and making a defensive play, which was a good play. But we only mentioned him a number of times. And so sometimes these players, they get so much in their head about how they have to make these adjustments and do something different, and the team's playing me this way, and I'm not getting any room, and I'm not, you know, he's a skater and a shooter. So he should be thinking, I'm going to skate and try to get to the open areas, and when I get the puck, I'm going to shoot it. But you got to work to be able to do that. And if you're not getting the chances, okay, you got to be patient. You got to wait for that chance to come. But you've got to do something else. You got to be the first guy in on the forecheck and force a turnover. You've got to make a defensive play now and then. You've got to do something to help your team, and you've got to at least get the other team thinking that we still have to watch this guy closely because he's a threat. So my problem with Tarasenko is that we don't mention his name enough during a broadcast. We don't mention his name enough as far as someone that is doing some other things and help. And you gotta sometimes just create things yourself. You can't wait for everybody else.
Final thought. What do you think that Coach Berube has in store for Game 4? What do you think he's telling his team now? I know there's going to be one change. Don will be out and likely Gunnarsson in. But what's the next biggest thing on the Blues' plate?
Well, I think for them is, you know, there doesn't have to be a major adjustment. There really doesn't. You know, the one thing that I think everybody has to understand is there's not going to be a perfect game. You know, if the Blues fans, even if the Blues win, they're not going to walk away saying, boy, the Blues did everything right. They defended. They didn't give up any shots. The goalie saw every shot. They had no rebounds. They forechecked properly. They never had an odd man rush again. That's not going to happen because you've got a really good team you're playing against. And things happen as we saw last night. So I don't think there's going to be major adjustments in the way they play. I think that, you know, Tarasenko is one. You got to step up. You got to be a factor. You have to be a factor in some way. So, do they need a little bit more from some players? Yes, but if you look at the team as a whole, I think the team played pretty well. I think they did some. I think they did enough good things to win. And in most cases, when you give up five goals, the coaches will focus on, let's be a little bit tighter. Here's what we can do a little bit better. Yeah, here's, if you don't have a play here, let's do this. And so I think that will be, and most times it is, the focus for the next game.
Great stuff. Joe, honored to have you on the program. Thanks so much. We're getting text here saying, one of them reads, Joe Micheletti is the best hockey analyst ever.
That was my son.
We'll see you at the rink. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Frank. Pleasure. Take
All
care.
Right. Joe Micheletti joining us. His son does still live in the area. His daughter, who's married to Mike Modano, was an outstanding golfer in high school at St. Joseph's Academy. So Joe has his roots here in St. Louis. All right, before we go to break, let me tell you about another Italian family that I love, the Bomberito Automotive family. They are the sponsor of the show content. If you're looking for a car, you can go to Bomberito. You can go to Bomberito.com, search through their extensive inventory of new cars and pre-owned cars. They sponsor much of the sports here in the St. Louis area, and we are thrilled they are with us on the Press Box. We'll take a break. We're coming right back.